Welcome to the Tri-State Space Program. I'm Jake the Astronaut with you as always. I took a little break from the podcast. It's been a while since I've recorded any new episodes, and I've actually been sitting on three of them for a few months now. Matt Mudd is the captain, El Capitan of the So Long Vinyls. He sings lead vocals for them. He's kind of the internet personality of the band, even though all those guys are on Facebook all the time, just giving each other shit and, you know, reposting all kinds of memes and stuff. They're really funny dudes, and this is actually a rather somber interview. We recorded it pretty early, if I remember correctly. We recorded it a few months ago, and it was a lot of fun to do. Actually, Mikey J let us record it, or let me record a few interviews in the old sortie on Main Street, which unfortunately was damaged in a fire and now will be razed. And there's my phone. So that was a pretty terrible thing. And also, I'd like to say that Brett Seiler, a fixture in the Evansville music community, he lost his cat to that fire, and he also lost a lot of property from what I'm hearing. So there is a GoFundMe page. There is there's a few different ways that you can give to Brett. There's also a show coming up, and I will post about that on Facebook and everywhere, and I'm sure I've already shared it once, so I'm sure I'll share it again. So pay attention to that. You know, any way you can help him would be great. And it really will just help the Evansville music community by extension, because he's such a fixture in it. So if you could give to him, that would be great. And now, here's my conversation with the lead singer of the So Long Vinyls, Matt Mudd. So what's been up, man? How are things?
Not bad, man. Not bad.
So what's going on with the So Long Vinyls? What's new?
We, sorry, I just woke up, man.
It's all good.
We just got a new guitarist, so I'm just back to singing.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm glad.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then writing new stuff, and same old, same old.
Have you been, I saw on Facebook you've been recording, right? Is that
Yeah, is we're that right? Retracking our first album.
Okay.
It didn't go well the first time.
Oh, yeah? I mean, you don't have to name names or anything, but what happened with it? Can you elaborate?
Yeah. I'll say his name, too. this guy, Nico Albanese, who did our demos, he basically, when we went to go do the album, he rushed our tracking, so it came out like shit, and we wasted about $2,000.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That stinks. So you got the tracks back, and it just wasn't the best performance? Is that...
It, Yeah, it just wasn't good. Wasn't good enough.
We've all been there. Where you go in and record, and then it's kind of... I don't know, you either feel arbitrarily rushed, or someone actually rushes you, and then you just don't get the best takes. Was it that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, that happens to everybody. So who are you recording with now? What's the...
We're actually recording at 77.
Okay. Is that... where is that?
It's like in More Music.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's cool. Who's recording you?
This guy named Patrick. He's like the engineer there.
Okay, cool. So it's... Does it feel less rushed this time around? Is it...
Yeah, it's turning out pretty good. I was blaring some of the rough stuff when I pulled up.
Yeah. That's what, yeah, as soon as we got the Jangle Sheep EP back, it was like, that's all I listened to for a couple days.
Yeah.
It feels kind of pompous, but at the same time, it's like, I worked hard on this. Like, I'm proud of it.
Yeah, I like listening to myself.
Yeah, I do too. Once you get past that, like, I don't know if you had this, but when you start doing music, just like everyone, when they hear their voice recorded just speaking, it's kind of weird to hear yourself. Then after a while, you just get desensitized, and you just really start paying attention to like the little things and like tweaking yourself to make it better, you know?
Yeah, I still hate hearing like raw vocals.
Mm.
Because, I don't know. You're never going to hear your voice to where it sounds good to you unless there's tons of effects on it. At least for me.
Yeah. Yeah, what kind of effects do you like? Like reverb?
Yeah.
Classic?
Yeah, depending on the song, I like to use a shitload of reverb. Can I cuss on here?
You can, yeah. You can say whatever.
Yeah, shitload of reverb. And distortion. I like to distort my voice.
Oh, yeah? That's cool. Do you use it at, like, certain times with certain parts, or...?
Well, it kind of depends on the song, but usually, usually I just do, like, a whole song.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Saturated vocals and stuff.
That's cool. That adds kind of a different dynamic, and it's not... It's just not the same sound every song. Like, you're, you know, sometimes you hear a record, and it's like... Every song, the singer sounds exactly the same.
Right.
Kind of, it can make a record get played out fast. So that's cool. So you have two guitar players now?
Yep.
That's awesome. So is one of them more like, because I know one of your guitar players, and I'm like spacing on his name right now. Is his name Dylan? He's in it, right?
Yeah, he's back.
Okay, cool. I thought there was a time where he wasn't. So
a few months.
So he plays kind of like more high pitched, like super trebly parts, which fit your songs super well. I've always thought. But so is the other guy now. I'm assuming it's a guy. I guess I just assume that. But does he play more rhythm? What's his role exactly?
He plays what I used to play.
Okay.
So it's part rhythm, part lead, because I played some lead parts too.
Okay. So how do you? So I saw on Facebook you said something about how you don't really like playing guitar, live or whatever. So what about it? Does it just feel like you're kind of encumbered by it, or?
Yeah, I guess I'm a decent guitarist. It's what I use to write, but playing live, I have to since I'll be playing lead parts. I have to, like, look down and shit while I'm singing, and it just doesn't give me as good of a performance, and, yeah, basically, it just doesn't look as cool.
Right, yeah, yeah. You gotta think about that. That sounds, you know, sounds trivial, but it's not, really.
Yeah.
Stage presence is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Especially on a local level.
Yeah.
There's some dudes, I don't know if you've ever seen them, they're called The Trip. They played here once. They played at Lamasco. They actually opened for a ska band at Lamasco, and they were incredible. And they're a three piece, and the lead singer plays guitar, but he's like dancing all over the place while he's playing, and it really like it kind of inspired me. Like, man, I got to get my stage presence up. These dudes are like showing me up.
Yeah.
But that's such a I don't know. That's such a huge part of the local scene for me. Because I don't know, just going to see dudes, I don't know. It's almost like if you don't have stage presence, your music has to be badass. You know what I mean? You have to, there's some, like, compensation that has to happen. But
yeah.
So, I don't know, you guys have any shows booked for anytime soon? Well, I know we have the Bernie show that we're both playing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Basically, the two shows we have with you guys, and then...
Right. Back-to-back days, too.
Yeah, and then Battle of the Bands in Wabash County or something.
Yeah, Wabash Valley College,
That's with you guys, too.
Yeah, it is, back-to-back, because April 28th is the Battle of the Bands over in Mount Carmel at Wabash Valley College, and then have they played your stuff on 89.1 that you know of?
A long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Like... 2015, like early 2015, they did.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Well, they played a couple songs from our EP. I think they only did it one night, and it was because the guy who's running Battle of the Bands, he was running that shift at the radio station. But so they played a couple songs. I just didn't know if they were doing. I'm sure they'll do some kind of thing where they put together packages, you know, of all the band's music. I think Wax Astro's playing it too, and I don't know. Should be fun. And then the next night, the Friday night, is that Bernie show. which you're a Bernie fan, right? I've seen your Facebook posts about him.
Yeah.
which Facebook is just alive with like Bernie shit right now, and it's awesome. The Bernie Sanders dank meme stash is pretty awesome. Pretty much any one of those memes where it's got Bernie and Hillary sitting next to each other,
yeah, and
it compares them. Those are always great.
Yeah.
So what? Let's see. So do you have anything after that? That's it. Those two.
Yeah, for now.
And then Mesker, or you're playing Mesker Fest too, right?
Yeah, okay, we're playing a different stage than you guys, but that's with you guys again.
Yeah. So
same thing.
Kind of. Kind of, at least for a couple months here, kind of like walking the same path.
Yeah.
So what, I don't know, what's in the works for So Long Vinyls as far as you have this record, when's it going to come out? Do you have any idea?
We are releasing a song this month.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I don't know when the actual whole thing is going to come out, you know what I mean? So
you said you're retracking. So does that mean that are there any new songs?
No, we've tracked all these songs before.
Okay.
So it's definitely not as fun this time cuz you've already heard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like when you first record, there's like excitement of hearing that song as a real professional thing for the first time.
Mhm.
But this time we've already heard them, so we're all kind of like, all right, let's do it. I mean, I still get excited to do the vocals because that's just fun every time. Yeah. But yeah, there's some shit that I'm sick of singing and sick of hearing almost. But
yeah, I can definitely see that. Especially, are you playing any guitar parts on the recording now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the new guitarist isn't 100% on all the songs yet, is that?
No, he's not on the record at all.
Oh, okay, I see.
Which isn't a big deal. Yeah, I play I play all of the parts, all of my parts on the record.
That's cool. So he's going to be in on, like, the new stuff that you're writing
for
the next batch of songs, whenever that may be.
Yeah.
That's cool. So he's kind of more of a live role right now.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good to have, though. It's good to have, like, especially if you know he can play it, you know. I don't know, that was always a struggle for me before recently, because before the Jangle Sheep and even right before Itter, it was like all this, like, I would jam with people and they would just not be very good. They just wouldn't be at my level, which is, you know, nothing against them. It's just...
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been doing this as long as me, and, yeah. How much of that did you run into? Are you from Evansville? I don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've run into a lot of that. It's like, I want to say they weren't on my level, because I think I'm a shit guitarist. But it's just like my songs are kind of like puzzles, and they're not always, the structure is never just like a straight line. It's all over the place, so it's like they couldn't really decode it.
Okay.
But I'd say they were good musicians or whatever, but they couldn't catch on.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, I'm sorry, dude, it's not working out. Yeah.
I see. Okay. I don't know if on my level was like, sometimes it would be like that somebody had only been playing a year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, if I've been playing quite a bit longer than that, we're just not going to match up. But yeah, style is another thing too, for sure. And especially if you don't write verse-chorus, like super predictable song structure, then yeah, you're going to run into people not knowing what to do. It's just too much for some people to handle if it doesn't go in a predictable way, you know?
You're right.
I don't know. You run into that around here, but I think, I don't know, what do you think about the music scene right now? Because if you're from here, you've seen it. We all saw it die. I mean, how old are you? I
24.
Okay. So then you did. Did you ever go to Boney June's when it was big?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I think it was good for its time, but looking back on it, it was like, man, that whole scene was just kind of weird. Like, I don't know how it flourished so much.
A lot of bad music. A lot of really bad music.
Yeah. But yeah, so you saw the scene kind of, you saw the scene die just like everybody else did, mm-hmm. Back in the late 2000s. And then now it's kind of like, I feel like it's making some, at least somewhat of a resurgence, you know? I mean, 51 bands are playing at Mesker, you know, not all of them are from here, but quite a few of them.
Yeah.
That's something. I mean, we're, you know, we're making shit happen as a community, I feel like.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it, about the music scene?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It has its good things.
Yeah.
It has its bad things. But,
what bands do you, I mean, what like local bands would you recommend to people? I mean, other than your own, obviously.
Actually, like you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks,
man.
And then, this might take me a second to think of other ones.
I mean, I'm thinking outside the box, like Honey Roy. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah. That's not really my style.
Me neither. But yeah. When I see them, I'm like, damn, they're pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're like up there killing it.
There's a lot of them I respect, but
oh, right. Okay, we can go that route. I mean, what local bands do you like respect? Like where you, when you see them, it's like, this isn't my cup of tea, but I know that they're super good.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Jangle Sheep.
Yeah. And then I like Bass Dinner.
Yeah.
I respect Bass Dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are my friends too.
Yeah. That helps. Yeah,
I'm thinking outside of the friendly box.
Yeah.
Mock Orange.
Okay. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Mock Orange.
Yeah, and that's pretty awesome that they're headlining Mesker Fest.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal when I heard about it. Like, oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know people who like followed them back in the day, back when they were kind of in their prime, I guess you'd say.
Right.
I don't know if they would like me saying that, but I don't know them, so.
I think they know.
Yeah. Surely they know. I don't know. Could go this route. What do you think? I don't know. What would you say to like prospective musicians who are coming up in like Evansville who are like, I don't know, getting pretty good at guitar or whatever instrument it is, and they're trying to form a band? Like, what advice would you give to someone like that? Like, having gone through, I mean, because I've seen you play several times. I mean, I know you've, how long have the So Long Vinyls been going? Like 3 years or something now?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years in October.
So yeah, So you've had plenty of experience in this scene. So what would you say to a you know, aspiring Evansville musician?
Be original. Don't play covers, I guess. I mean, play covers, but don't, you know, make original songs too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a thing, like covers, like the battle of between original and cover bands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say we've came up, because we're still pretty unknown, but how we had such a passionate fan base was just not playing any covers at all, just starting out with original stuff and only doing that, and like, I don't say we have like a huge fan base or whatever, but they're very passionate fans, the few of them, they're really into us, so... That's what I would say to anybody trying to start something like this.
Yeah. That's good advice for sure. Stay, be original is definitely good. I think even if you're going to play covers, like, they shouldn't be played note for note and exactly like they're done. Like, I don't know, I respect someone playing a cover their own way or at least partially, like, making it their own. I feel like when Jangle Sheet plays covers, I mean, and we... Really, the only reason we play covers is because we don't have enough originals to fill up a set, you know.
I got you.
Yeah. Or when we play a couple hours, you know.
Yeah.
Writing songs just kind of comes to you in, like, an organic way, and you can learn a song anytime. We haven't learned a cover in forever. The last one we did was Frank Zappa, so, and I don't even really count that because it's just kind of a novelty, you know what I mean? It's not like Say It Ain't So or something where it's like, you know, where it's like a very obvious cover, but... But yeah, I think that's one thing a lot of people get stuck in is the cover scene, you know?
Yeah. It's because everybody, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, around here.
Anybody who wants to come out, they're like, I want to see, I want to see him cover Three Doors Down or something. So it's easy to get stuck.
Y'all do Photograph by Nickelback?
I'm sure some of them do.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Ugh. That's one thing I can say is I've never covered anything that shitty. Like, even though I've been in bands that have covered a lot of songs, like, there's, like, a line you don't cross, you know?
Yeah.
Even within cover bands. That's how you know, like, someone is just totally not with it as far as any originality is when you go see a show and they're covering the worst songs, you know? Just, like, the most corporate shit you can imagine. Yeah. Ugh, it's kind of disgusting, honestly.
Yeah.
People are into that shit.
With our band, there's always one member who wants to cover something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not me.
Yeah.
There's been a few things I've wanted to cover.
Like what?
This zombie song that we do cover.
Oh, yeah.
We did. But I'll tell them, like, I won't cover anything past, like, 1971.
Oh.
Just because, like, I feel like it's fresh to cover something that old. Mm-hmm. But then when you cover, like, some shit, like, say if we covered, like, Cage the Elephant or something, or, like, The Strokes, it would be, like, so expected of a modern, right, whatever you want to call us, band. So,
I can see,
yeah,
that.
I'm like, if you want to cover something, find something from back in the day, I guess.
That's good. That's a good plan, because then it's not even like you're covering it's not something people have heard recently, unless it's a huge song, you know, but
yeah.
I would assume you guys wouldn't cover anything that would be super recognizable upon, you know what I mean?
We did a Der Maker at practice. We've never done it live. Is that how you say it? Der Maker?
I think so.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
We did that at practice, and it sounded awesome, but...
Really?
I feel like everybody has covered that song, so it's just like...
Oh, yeah. We do Black Dog, so...
Oh,
so I got no room to talk as far as cliche Zeppelin covers. No, it was kind of... I don't know, the only way I can justify playing covers is if you don't have enough songs to... You know what I mean? You don't have enough original songs to fill a set, and it kind of gets the chemistry going. You know, I can see that too. I've been in bands where that's happened. So, but as far as like doing all covers all night, I feel like we need less of that in Evansville, you know, a lot less of it actually. I think, places like Sortie and PG and, I don't know, places like that are where I feel a lot more comfortable. You know, is that how you feel about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Rather than Casey's or something.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in that place?
Yeah. It would actually be really dope to play there.
It kind of would.
Because of the sound system and the stage and shit, but the crowd. I don't know. I feel like we would never get the chance to play there, but the crowd would, like, fucking love us. They're like.
You think so?
Yeah.
All those drunk-ass, like, 30-year-olds.
Yeah, like, sometimes... Sometimes we can woo people like that.
You think so?
Yeah,
it's happened.
They'll be like, oh, it's the Doors or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
something dumb like that, and they would just stick around and actually like it.
Yeah. So has that happened? You've like experienced like people like
there's people that like us because they think we're like. The door, the second coming of the Doors. I'm like, I don't really see it, but I guess that's cool. Whatever.
You guys have a unique sound, I would say. Like you, I don't know. That's one thing. You guys have a definitive sound. Like that's why I kind of like. I don't know Dylan's guitar parts. It wouldn't. I don't know how it sounded. You know, how your practices sounded without him, but I would just imagine that there was like. I don't know. If I were in your band, there'd be something missing because I heard that the whole time before that, you know. But so is it still the same bass player?
Yeah.
And then different drummer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than your original drummer?
Yeah.
Cool. How long have you had him, the new-ish drummer? Counting on his fingers, by the way.
Eight months? 8 months, yeah.
Cool. So he's pretty well integrated.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
in it.
And he's the drummer that you're recording with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, we're retracking with him.
Cool.
He's a lot more organized than the last drummer. Like, okay. He actually memorizes parts.
Oh, okay.
Our old drummer, I don't think he did that.
Yeah? kind of different every time.
Yeah.
I knew a band who had a bass player that would do that. They were like, he never plays it the same way twice.
Yep. Like, you can't have that, really.
No, you can't. Not especially with songs, even though the structures of your songs are unorthodox,
yeah.
You still have to have like a definite structure. Like, and plus, the drummer provides a lot of cues for parts and stuff, so you got to have somebody doing the same thing every time. Like at least like 95% the same, you know.
Right.
Obviously, live, it's going to be a little different every time. That's kind of what I like about live local shit is that, you know, these musicians are only going to perform this way one time. And it's only ever going to be, you heard it that one, like, you know, like snowflake, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's never going to be the same again. So, I don't know, you heard it at that point in that band's, you know, time span as well. So, I don't know. It's kind of the luster of it for me.
Yeah.
So what, I don't know, we talked about shows and recording. What other aspects of the band are there? Are you guys going to get physical copies whenever you come out with the CD?
Yeah. The record? Hopefully we'll run into some money so we can get vinyl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That's what I really want to do, but I see that taking a long time to get on vinyl. But
yeah, it's quite a bit, especially first pressing. I've looked into it some, and it's, yeah, first pressing is a bitch. I thought about, there's like some company that was making like 5-inch records, and you could, I guess they were at 33 RPM, and so you could fit like a 3.5 or 4 minute song on either side, so then could get two songs on there, and it's like the size of a CD,
right? You know,
but it's vinyl. So, there's a company doing that, but it was like $700 for 100 of them. I was like,
Jesus,
I don't know about that. That's really expensive. That's kind of what sucks about the local, being a local band is you can't afford all this awesome shit that you,
yeah, you have to, you know, pay for everything yourself.
Right. You guys ever, would you guys entertain like becoming signed?
Depends. I mean, of course, it's a goal, but it depends on who it is. I'm not like, we've had like, I guess, kind of offers before.
Oh, really?
But they, yeah, same with like promoters and shit. It's just like, I feel like they're full of shit and they can't really offer anything that we couldn't do ourselves. So we're like, nah.
A lot of times, I mean? That seems to be the case, yeah.
But if like, a major label came up to us or messaged us. I don't think they'd come up to us. Hey man.
Found you.
Yeah, I think I would do that just out of distribution, and you know, I want to be a big band. I like want to be mainstream, but I want to keep my artistic freedom.
Right.
But, yeah, I would definitely sign to a major label. And like,
yeah.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, as long as I had the artistic freedom. Not like, hey, you guys are good at playing your instruments. Why don't you come and meet my writer?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, no, I can't.
No, you signed us, dude. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would do that, though. But, and I guess an indie label. But it depends on the indie label.
Right.
Like, I don't want to talk like I have, like, some selection. Like,
yeah.
Nah, buddy. You know, like, nobody's, like, knocking down our door right now. But it depends on the indie label. I think a lot of them don't do shit for bands, really. So.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are like that. Epitaph Records is kind of major. They're not major. They're still technically independent, but they're a big record label. I mean, a bunch of, I think Bad Religion's on Epitaph. Like, a bunch of, you know, legendary bands have been on it.
Yeah.
I think Thursday was on it for a while. And what's cool about them is they've been offered up to $5 million to sell to a major label, and they've always turned it down. So that's one, like, big time, or pretty big time independent label that I would entertain just because of that. Like, they've never sold out.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
cool.
Pretty cool.
I like the band called The Matches that were on Epitaph.
Oh,
I think
yeah?
they still are. Yeah, I was into them, like, back in 2010.
Yeah.
It's about the only band I know, though.
Yeah, I know. I only know a couple of them. I think From First to Last, that, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Which I hate even talking about them now, but because now that's Skrillex. Now the lead singer of that band is Skrillex. I'm just not a fan of EDM.
Oh, me
couldn't
either,
get into
man.
It, man. Couldn't get into all the noise, man.
Sorry if I just burped in your
no,
face.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Just trying to cover it up.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know about, like, labels. There's a promoter right now that's trying to get us to pay him $80 a month to promote.
Yeah.
Which isn't that much money, but I don't know. I can't send a dude money and then him not do anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might try. It's $80. We've lost more than that. So.
Yeah.
So, fuck it.
You could do, yeah, I mean, depends on how he's promoting. Would he be promoting you online more than anything?
I think so, yeah.
Well, it depends on how much work he put in, you know, and how many hours he worked on it a month. It's like, you would figure he'd work at least 8 hours a month to make it $10 an hour. And, I don't know, you could get a lot done in 8 hours as far as online promotion. If he actually worked his ass off, you know, it might be worth it.
Yeah.
If he actually contacted a bunch of people for you and did a bunch of the legwork that it would be kind of annoying for you to do, I can see it being worth it. But is he out of Evansville? Is he like a local guy or
no?
Just found him online or something? Or he found you online?
Yeah, he found us. He's like, he like does promoting for rap.
Oh yeah.
And I guess he liked my flow, so he was,
oh yeah.
No, so he hit us up and he was like, hey, I promote rappers, and they're pretty happy with me, blah, 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 you know. Be promoted. I was like, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Just, I'm going to leave you hanging on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys have to get the record out anyway before you would want, you know, to promote a whole bunch anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, we got to finish this record. He's like, well, you got songs online. It'd be smart to promote what you have now, and then when the record comes out, you'd already have those people. And
yeah, I can see that, but you kind of already have that as well. You know what I mean? Like, you already have like this kind of devoted fan base, like you were talking about.
And yeah,
it
but
may
I guess
not be
he
big,
means
but you have people come to your shows every time.
Yeah, he means more though. He's like,
yeah.
You want more, which I understand, but I don't know. We've been so fucked. We've been fucked around, so we're definitely hesitant to work with anybody outside of your
circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that for sure. That's like it's a pretty common thing around here. Is like, I don't know. People have tried to do that pay to play thing around here as well. I've heard of it here and there. Which is where, you know, bands pay for the exposure, for the guaranteed audience.
Yeah,
and that's shitty.
That's
like,
bullshit.
Why would you do that? I don't know.
That is bullshit.
Music industry's changing, and people are trying to get as much money out of good art that they can, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of shitty.
I mean, money is important to have, but I like to not go into any artistic thing thinking about money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, it's something you can't avoid. Sometimes, but I try to not think about it going into it, so then whenever you get fucked out of money, you're like, oh well, you know.
I was doing
something I was passionate about, so
exactly.
It's
that's
like,
a good way to look at it.
You can only be so passionate about money, I think.
Ah, true. I like that philosophy. That's good. It's a good way to look at it.
I would burn it if I could.
If you wouldn't, like, bash your head into a wall as a result. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way the whole thing is set up, you have to, you almost have to have some kind of weird I don't know, you almost have to idolize the almighty dollar, or at least, like, want it.
Yeah.
The whole system's set up for that, so it's kind of like it trickles down into everything, including local music. That's why venues shut down, and, like, you know, we have such a weird scene here. So it's like there are a few dedicated people that are trying to keep it going. And they have. I think they've done a pretty good job thus far. I mean, different venues around town have been pretty good to the bands I've been in. And, I mean, you guys have played around pretty much every venue you can play that I know of. Have you played Lamasco yet?
Well, we played open mic there.
Oh, okay. And I know you played Mojo's.
Yeah. Which,
that was a cool show for the Jangle Sheep, too.
Yeah, I like that place.
Yeah, the sound was really good. That's why I kind of decided to play there. Was I saw you mm-hmm. guys, and then who was it after? Paul Blake, is that his name?
Yeah.
And
yeah, you were at that show.
Yeah,
right?
I was. Yeah. And we saw you guys there, or I did, and it was pretty fucking good, man. It sounded awesome. Like
the sound, you could hear
the vocals like so well. It's sound treated in that room. It sounds really good, and it was weird because Jangle Sheep, we usually like. Mike especially just fucking cranks his like Eddie Van Halen amp, and he couldn't do that. Like the sound guy was like, "Can you turn down, please?" Yeah. He's like, "So I can control how loud it is." And I don't know, it was something we hadn't had before.
Works in your favor.
Oh, it definitely.
When you're up there, I know my amp. I was like, "This is too fucking quiet." It sounded I could hear like the unplugged electric. String sound. So I was like this is too fucking quiet, but it works in your favor because out there the perfect level,
right?
Maybe not the perfect level, but it's
pretty goddamn close from where I was sitting, dude. It sounded good.
Yeah, it's a better level than you would personally set it at,
right? Because it's a third party, it's like someone not in your band,
right?
And so they have a good position to be able to equalize everything out. It's I don't know. It was a lot of fun playing there too. One of the waitresses there was a little. She wasn't extremely nice to us. She wasn't mean. She wasn't nice. She was like all business.
Older one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like all business. Like, she was the one that kept asking us to turn down our amps.
And yeah. She was like, I think that's his wife.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And, she was the same way with us. Yeah. We're like, what did we do?
Yeah.
We're
right. Like, you feel bad.
Why does she not like me? But I don't know.
Well, that's good to know that she wasn't just like that with the Jangle Sheep.
No.
And then Sean took a beer outside, like a dumbass. Yeah. And she came out there. You can't have that out here.
Fucking Sean!
Yeah.
Get back in here!
Sean. God damn it, Sean. we're not going to be able to play here again because you're fucking up. No, it was good. And we got paid pretty well, too. I don't know if you guys did. But,
they pay real U.S. dollars.
And it was, I mean, it was a good amount, too, especially for a local show. So, I mean, it was, I don't know, that's not that big of a deal, you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect to get paid at shows. Like, if she had handed us $20, I would have been cool. But
it's nice when you're surprised with it.
Right, right. And, I mean, Mike has this weird knack for, like, getting, like, all the citizens of Jasper that he ever met while he went to high school there to show up to our shows. I don't know what it is. He's always got several buddies at our shows, and then, you know, like a few circles of Jasper people happen to be at our shows. So that helps, like, fill it up, you know. And then, I don't know if you've ever had this, but I had this happen recently, and it was really cool. Have you ever invited, which I'm assuming that you're straight in asking this,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it doesn't really matter. Have you ever invited someone of the gender that you prefer? to a show on a whim, mm-hmm. and then they fucking showed up, and it was like someone who you were like interested in, you know what I mean? Have you ever had that shit happen?
Well, I've been like talking to a girl,
right,
and then she's came,
mm-hmm.
but it's only been like two times,
really.
Yeah. Out of like 1,000 shows. And I don't know. Yeah, it never, like, the show never feels how I would want it to.
Yeah.
When you imagine, like, okay, like, everyone's like this, I don't give a shit how cool you are. When you like a chick and then you want her to come see your show, you always have a vision for it in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, like, imagine it going fucking awesome and, like, fireworks and shit. And then it's just not. Like, I had this chick who came a few months ago, and this was when we had our falling out with Dylan. And I was like, dude, please just play this show. You know what I mean? Because she was coming. And then he got mad at us again and didn't come, so we played as a trio, and it was just not as good as I hoped.
Not ideal.
Yeah. So.
That's funny, yeah. Yeah. I had that happen at Mojo's. That's why I brought it up, just because the girl showed up, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, and it that was, like, that show actually did work. Like, if she had shown up earlier, it would have been better, because I sing this, like, super sexual song, and I thought that would be cool for her to hear, but... Then she showed up pretty late. She got to hear a few good ones. Not so much like the filler at the end of the set. So
yeah,
it was pretty cool. But yeah, what about the other time? Did the other time go better? You said there were two times the chick showed up.
It was at Mesker.
Oh yeah.
It was at the shelter house.
Okay.
And it was like the chick that 80% of my songs are about.
Oh, okay.
And, it was like a whim thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, you should come. And then she, like, pulled up in a taxi. I was like, oh, she actually came. And then the sound was terrible. So, I mean...
I know what you're talking about with the vision in your head. You have this, like, rock star fucking vision in your head that you're gonna, like, pull off everything really well.
Everyone's like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, like, people that... want to act like rock, and not like rock and roll, like, music's not about chicks, but like...
Yeah, right, dude, come on.
Well, like, 80% of the people who start a band, that's what they have in mind when they're like, I want to start a band, you know what I mean?
It's like... It's their motivation, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a thing, I guess.
That's why I started playing guitar. I'll readily admit that, man. I was thinking about how girls would feel about it.
Yeah, see, I respect people who admit that. I mean... I don't know why I started. I knew, like, well, I didn't really have a choice, I think, with music. But, as I got older, that was more in mind. You know what I mean? You start to gravitate towards songs that are about, like, a chick or something. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what's on your mind. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
As a straight man, that's what's on your mind.
Well, that's literally why we're here with penises, is to reproduce.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that
makes sense.
Of course, there's other aspects of making music.
That's right.
Not,
oh yeah.
But yeah, I think that is why most people would start a band. It's like,
I think so.
I want to impress her. I guess.
Exactly.
Or something, I don't know.
Well, I was never good at sports. So, you know, like, I was always scared of the ball and baseball. And I was always, like, I was never scared of the soccer ball until, I don't remember how old I was, like, 8 or 9. And this fucking, the fattest kid on the field is, like, we're running at the ball at the same time. And he just scoops it up with his foot and it hits me right in the nose. And I, like, cried and shit. It was the worst pain ever. And then I was scared of the soccer ball, so then it was done. I don't know. Never was good at any of that shit, so then at 14, I was like, I bet girls would like it if I play guitar, but I might be able to do that. So, that, I don't know. That, I don't know. I'll admit it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Eventually, it blossomed into more than that, into like a self-fulfilling passion, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
But I think that's how it starts, though. And that's how a lot of things start. That's how a lot of passions start. And, even if it didn't start that way, if you're doing your thing, like, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, even if it's fucking whittling. Like, you're going to show a girl what you've done, and it's, you know...
Yeah.
It's part of... Actually, there's a strong, like, evolutionary argument for that, that all the superfluous shit that humans do, like sports and art and all that shit, is for procreation. It's just to impress women to make them think that you have better genes than dudes who don't do that. And so they'll fuck you and make your babies rather, which is a super crude way to put it, but ultimately, like, biologically, that's what it's supposedly. There's a whole book about it.
I can see that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does.
You don't need that shit to survive. Right. It's actually counterproductive to be super loud and do a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then the predators will find you. But, you know, you got to do it to impress chicks.
Makes sense. Mating call thing.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's kind of like a peacock's, whatever the fuck that thing's called, the peacock feathers.
Yeah.
They don't need that shit. That shit's cumbersome to, like, drag around with you. It makes it harder to get away from predators, but it impresses the females, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, but anyway, I guess we're going to have to end on that note. So, so you got Facebook and all that shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're on SoundCloud.
I'm always on there.
You guys on SoundCloud?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the old stuff, so the new stuff's coming, right? And you said song next month. The new versions of the songs, at least.
Yeah. Some of them haven't been released. You know what I mean? So nobody really knows them.
How many do you have? Like 4 or 5 of them up?
That haven't been released?
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's only 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've released a bunch of shit. Like old demos, like back in the day that we deleted. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
goddamn.
So you can find your stuff. Are you guys on Bandcamp at all, or?
Yeah, kind of. We're never on it, but we have a page with song on it.
Oh, okay, all right. So yeah, you can find, if you're listening to this, you can find So Long Vinyls at Bandcamp and SoundCloud and Facebook. Are you on Twitter as well?
That's kind of the same thing.
You don't keep up with it, but you have one.
Yeah, we have one, but I think we forgot the password.
Oh yeah.
So
have to re-up on that shit. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for talking to me, man.
Thank you, man.